Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I just know I'm having a lot of fun, and I'm very appreciative of the way the people have been supportive. I think that because I feel or believe that I'm playing really well and I have an opportunity to contend for a major championship on Sunday, and I'm having so much fun that it's easier to stay in the present and not get ahead of myself. I think certainly my brothers played a big part in kind of keeping me present and in the moment, not letting a couple of bad swings affect me here or there. And so I think we're having so much fun that it's easy to stay present.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66. WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Well, good morning and welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, May 23rd. How are we doing this morning? Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers, proud sponsor of the Travelers Championship, June 24th through the 27th. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. Feel the thrill. Oh my goodness, what a great week. Phil Mickelson grabbing most of the headlines this week at the PGA Championship, and for good cause. Can he win his sixth major title? Later this afternoon, Ocean Course, Kiawah Island, be there. He turns 51 on June 16th. 51! And he'll try to become the oldest guy ever to win a major championship. Now, for historic perspective, if Phil wins today, he would replace Julius Burros, who was just over 48 when he won the PGA Championship, but this was back in 1968. So Phil has this huge opportunity. He shot a 2-under 70 yesterday. He's at 7-under all for the championship. He's that one-shot lead over Brooks Koepka. And boy, yesterday, he led by 5. Who would have thought, right? After his birdie at 10, he had a 5-stroke lead. He had birdies on holes 2, 3, 6, 7, 10. He was just putting on a clinic, playing flawless golf. At 11, he missed an 8-footer for birdie that would have extended his lead. Then on the 12th, his tee shot found a fairway bunker. He bogeyed that hole. Then he double bogeyed the 13th, his tee shot landing in the water. But he regained his composure. He parred the rest of the way home. And you heard him after the round. He was talking about, you know, staying focused. He said, even though it slipped a little bit today and I didn't stay as focused and as sharp on a few swings, he said it's significantly better than it's been for a long time. So he thinks he's making a lot of progress, you know, with his focus, which has been an issue, he admitted. And, you know, he said he's hoping to post a score that better reflects how he's actually playing. I mean, even that, you know, with 5 birdies so early, and then he kind of struggled a little bit on the back. But hey, his last major title was the 2013 Open Championship. And the last time he had the lead going into the final round, I remember it very well. It was at Marion in 2013. He did not win it. Justin Rose won that one. But Phil is 3-for-5 when he holds the 54-hole lead or co-lead in major championships. So, I mean, his play this week has really been magical. I mean, truly a canvas of art, hitting from sandy areas to within a few feet of the pin, striking pure iron shots exactly on line. And, you know, while he was actually deciding what he was going to hit out of that sandy area on the 15th, Brooks Koepka drilled this unbelievable 280-yard bomb approach shot, landing it about 25 feet from the pin for an eagle opportunity there. He did an eagle it. He birdied it to grab a share of the lead with Phil at 7 under at that point. Then Phil, he had a birdie putt opportunity on the 16th. He hit it way too hard. He got a lucky break. It hit the hole, which took speed off of it, or it could have rolled down the slope way down the hill, and it would have been hard for him to have saved par there. But he saved par. He went into the 17th at 7 under, tied for the lead with Brooks Koepka. Koepka saved a par putt on the par 3 17th, but then Koepka bogeyed the 18th to drop down one. So Koepka finished at 6 under, just one shot back. And after the round, Koepka said it was the worst putting performance for him ever. He said his speed was totally off. So, you know, he spent a lot of time on the practice area after his round yesterday trying to work on his speed and where his eye was over the ball, apparently. So Koepka is right there. I mean, he birdied 2, he bogeyed 6, he birdied 7, he had bogeyed 9, he birdied 10, 12, 16, then finishes with that bogey. So quite a frustrating up and down round for Brooks yesterday, who shot that 2 under 70. And what a final pairing it will be. Brooks Koepka, Phil Mickelson, as they start this afternoon at 2:30. Koepka, he won the PGA Championship in 2018, 2019, the last player to win the same major at least 3 times in a 4-year stretch. Tom Watson at the Open Championship. He won it in 1980, 1982, and 1983. So Brooks going for his 5th major title. He's just been on a tremendous run, having won 4 majors in 3 years. I was there when he won the 2017 U.S. Open at Erin Hills. I was there when he won the 2018 U.S. Open at Shinnecock, when he won the 2018 PGA Championship and the 2019 PGA Championship. And, you know, it's remarkable to see him in this position, based on the fact that he had knee surgery in March. And earlier in the week, he said his doctor told him he's still 6 months away from total recovery. I mean, you know, he can't stretch out that knee when he's reading putts. He's doing kind of like this yoga move on the greens. You know, he missed the cut at the Masters. He wanted to play in the Masters just to see how his knee would hold up. He couldn't bend it at all. It's amazing he could even, you know, walk Augusta National. And he missed the cut at the Byron Nelson. So to see him breaking through with this injury in the PGA Championship with this on this just brutal track with crazy wind, it's just a testament to Brooks Koepka. And he doesn't open up much, but earlier in the week he talked about, nobody knows what I went through for those 4 weeks after, he said, after I had that knee surgery. Every time I was doing something, I just envisioned myself playing at Augusta. Like I said, what was it, like a week and a half in trying to ride a bike backwards and you can't go around the whole cycle? He couldn't even take his knee and go around once on a bike. He said it takes a lot of heart just to do it, but that was the goal. And boy, does he have heart. He, you know, he's all business out there. He gets the point. But no one out there is as mentally tough as Brooks Koepka. So, boy, who do you pick? I want Phil to win. It's just such a great story, you know. But Brooks is just so mentally tough. And he says he's here to win, not to here to finish second. And then you have Louis Oosthuizen, 2 shots back at 5 under. He shot an even par 72 yesterday. He had his opportunities to take the lead. He missed a very short putt on the 16th, which would have grabbed him a tie for the lead. He ended up 3 putting for bogey there, dropping back to 5 under. But, you know, Louis has always been dangerous. He won the Open Championship in 2010. He came in second at the 2012 Masters. I'll never forget that double eagle he made there in the second hole at Augusta National. He tied for second at the PGA Championship in 2017 and at the 2015 U.S. Open. So he's come so close. obviously an Open champion, but the other majors, he's come so close and he knows what to do. But I think Louis loses mental focus at times as well. But when he gets on a run, watch out. Just incredible. And getting back to Phil, you have to ask what he has done differently this week. Because based on his results this year, nobody would have picked him. Maybe a few picked him. But, I mean, who would have thought he would do this well three straight days? I mean, he's done well, throughout the season, maybe shooting a great score on one day. But he missed the cut at the Valspar. He missed the cut at the Texas Open. He missed the cut at AT&T Pebble Beach. He missed the cut at the American Express, the Houston Open, the U.S. Open last year at Wingfoot. He finished 21st at the Masters. So what has he done differently this week? And you remember hearing him talk, and I've been talking about this. He admitted a couple weeks ago to losing his focus, to not being able to sustain focus over a long period of time. He said after Friday's round that while he practices, not during a tournament, but in between these events, he's been trying to play 36, 45 holes in a day to try to elongate his focus. So when he does play 18, he doesn't feel like it's that much. He said he's trying to use his mind like a muscle and just expand it, because he said as he gets older, it's been more difficult to maintain a sharp focus, a good visualization, and see the shot. Man, for a champion like Phil to open up about this, as you get older, you tend to lose focus, sustained focus. And you know how mentally tough you have to be over a long period of time when you're, in a championship like this. I mean, you have to wonder if he's been working with a mind coach, a sports psychologist who perhaps has given him tips on focusing and visualization, because I've noticed this week he is spending more time before his shots, before each tee shot. He looks like he's taking more time before each putt, visualizing. You can just kind of see his mind going, right? And thinking about the shot and before he hits the tee shot and on the greens, thinking about the speed of the greens and direction. So, I mean, the wind wasn't blowing yesterday anything like it was blowing Thursday or Friday. But after Phil's round on Friday, where he shot a 3-under and he had that 31 on the front nine, Phil said that he and his brother Tim have done a good job of judging the wind, of judging the flight, and picking clubs with the right flight to get the right distance. And that continued to yesterday's round on the front nine with spectacular iron shots and tee shots. He said yesterday, and you heard the cut, he's having so much fun, he's staying in the present, and that his brother Tim, his caddy, is helping him just stay in the present moment, not letting a couple of bad swings affect him here or there. So he said he is making progress in that area. So it's for Phil, it's a mental battle to sustain that focus over a long period of time. And for Brooks Koepka, who I think is the most mentally tough player out there since Tiger Woods, for Brooks, it's a physical battle. And his knee, which is not 100%, far from it. Can his knee just maintain? Looks like he's not having too many issues with it, although he must be in a lot of pain. You just never know. So, hey, it's a tight leaderboard beyond Phil and beyond Brooks. If Phil falters, you have 8 players, including Brooks, within 5 shots of the lead. Kevin Streelman's in there, 3 shots back. Bryson DeChambeau, Gary Woodland, they're among those, the 2-under, 5 shots back. Ricky Fowler fans out there, you have to be happy. He's at even par. Jordan Spieth, they're 7 shots back. Rory McIlroy, he has not had his best stuff all week. He shot a +2 yesterday. He's at +5 overall. And he won on this golf course in 2012. He won that PGA Championship here on 2012 by 8 shots. 8 shots, just dominating the field. But he said earlier in the week that it's completely different. The conditions and the course, it was played back then in August. And he said back then the Pespalan grass was a lot more strong and a lot more dense. And the ball was sitting up more. and that the course is playing more links-like now, and the lies are more bare. And he said back in 2012, he said the key to his win was he was just a chipping and putting magician, Rory. So this year, it's not going to happen for Rory. But and then interesting that three of the top four players did not make the cut. Dustin Johnson, the first top-ranked player to miss consecutive cuts in the majors. He missed the Masters cut as well since Greg Norman back in 1997. Justin Thomas did not make the cut. Neither did Xander Schauffele. All at plus six with the cut line after Friday's play at plus five. So interesting that some of the greatest players in the world are not playing this weekend. Now, the wind today is predicted to be from the southwest, which is different than how it's been all week. So players will have to make that adjustment. If the wind comes out of the west, the par 5 second hole can be reachable in two. The par 4 third could be drivable. And it will provide an entirely different dynamic. So these guys who have gotten used to wind from the east will have to figure this one out. And that's just part of the excitement. So nobody is going to run away with it. All right, joining me this morning, Mike Perkey, longtime golf writer, former president of the Golf Writers Association of America, contributor to Morning Read. Mike wrote an exceptional article for Morning Read last week on his memories of covering the 91 Ryder Cup, the war on the shore, which took place on the ocean course. And actually, that Ryder Cup put the Ryder Cup on the map. So we'll talk to Mike about that and get his thoughts on the PGA Championship and if he thinks Phil Mickelson can close this one out. And then Buddy Darby will join us as well. Buddy and his team built Kiawah Island Resort. He hired Pete Dye to design the ocean course. So we'll learn that history from Buddy Darby and get his take on Phil. He walked with Phil earlier in the week and see if he has any insight on Phil and whether he thinks Phil will continue to shine today. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk to Mike Perkey. But first, let me tell you that at Travelers, we never lose sight of our promise to take care of our customers and communities. That's why we're so excited to welcome another field of world-class golfers to this year's Travelers Championship, June 24th through the 27th. Since 2007, the tournament has raised over $20 million for charities across the region. Thanks to the support of the PGA Tour's best players, the thousands of volunteers, and all our loyal fans. For over 160 years, Travelers has been helping protect the people we serve. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf, and what a PGA Championship as Phil Mickelson will try to become the oldest player to win a major championship. And joining me now is Mike Perkey, longtime golf writer, former president of the Golf Writers Association of America, a contributor to Morning Read. Good morning, Mike. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Ann.
Hey, I had a best time with you at that media tournament at Doom Bay Golf Club in Western Ireland. Remember that?
And I do.
My favorite hole is that par 3 16th, and I birded that, so I was feeling pretty good about myself. And then you had a hole in one on that hole. Great memory, right?
Absolutely. My claim to golf fame, my 10 minutes of fame.
And that hole doesn't even exist anymore. I was so upset. I'll have to talk to Buddy Darby about that one. But anyway, well, the first huge event ever played on the ocean course was the 91 Ryder Cup that infamously became known as the War by the Shore. And you were there to cover that, and you wrote a great piece about it in Morning Read. And just how contentious was it, Mike, between the United States and Europe, that Ryder Cup?
Oh, it was incredibly contentious. And, I mean, from the very start, the very first match of the first day was Paul Azinger and Chip Beck against Seve Ballesteros and Jose Maria Olazabal. And they're playing foursomes, alternate shot. And on about the seventh hole, Azinger and Beck had been alternating 90 and 100 compression golf balls, depending on who hit their approach shots. And Olazabal noticed this, and on the ninth hole, called him on it. The rules officials came out, and, you know, Seve got really close to using the cheating word, and, you know, I thought Azing was going to turn around and deck him, and it only got worse from there.
But they did not call a penalty because they said the holes were completed before they actually called the officials, right?
That's right. That's correct. Yep.
And then the Europeans ended up winning that match 2-1. And then what happened the following morning between Raymond Floyd and Seve?
Oh, wow. On the first tee, Raymond Floyd and Fred Couples were playing Ballesteros and Olafawa, and Seve started clearing his throat. Raymond's eyes got big and lit up. I mean, like you were threatening his family. And he walked over to Seve and stuck his finger in Seve's chest and said, "There'll be none of that today." And Seve never said another word.
And that really put the Ryder Cup on the map, that win. The U.S. beat the European team 14.5 to 13.5. You had described it as an explosion of pent-up partisan energy that, once the fuse was lit, would not lose one ounce of intensity for the next 3 days. I loved it.
It was incredible. I was on the first tee on the first day, and when the Americans were introduced, it sounded like a huge clap of thunder. I've been to a lot of big-time events and heard the sounds of crowds and a lot of venues, but that was almost like a sonic boom.
And all these years later, how do you see the Ocean Course playing? Does it look different to you? Are the conditions different? What's the difference between the Ocean Course at Kiawa for this PGA Championship and what you remember it at the 91 Ryder Cup?
Well, I'll tell you, Ann, the 91 Ryder Cup, that's when the Ocean Course opened. It opened for that specific reason. And back then, there were a lot of harsh angles and sharp edges. I mean, you could miss a green by 15 feet and be unplayable. And it was just way, way harder than it is now, because it was so raw and undefined it was just brand new. And since then, a lot of those harsh edges and lines have been softened, or some of them have been eliminated altogether. Nick Faldo said at the 91 Ryder Cup, "If we had to play this place with a pencil and scorecard, we might not finish." Colin Montgomery was four down with four to play against Mark Calcavecchia, and he went bogey, bogey, double bogey, bogey, and won all four holes.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So it was even tougher, you're saying, back in 91.
Oh, my
right?
gosh, yes. It was horribly different.
Wow. Well, what do you think of this PGA Championship? Are you just completely surprised by Phil, or are you, what are your thoughts about him?
Well, he's doing something or attempting to do something that hasn't been done in 50, 60 years or more. I mean, he's trying to become the oldest major winner in the championship history. By the same token, he's incredibly fit physically. He still hits the ball a long way. He knows his short game is as good as ever. You know, by his own admission, his focus has not been the best. And speaking as someone who is over 50, I understand that, because, there's a reason that Champions Tour events are three rounds, is because when you get a little older, it's hard to focus for 18 holes or for 4 days in a row. And Phil apparently is doing some meditation and some other things that he says is helping his focus. So, for a 50-year-old to be in this position is incredible, but it's not like we haven't seen it before. Tom Watson almost won the Open Championship at age 59. Greg Norman was 53 years old when he led after three rounds of the Open Championship. So it's not unprecedented, but, this afternoon, if the wind gets up and blows in a different direction, we'll see how great Phil's focus is.
Definitely. Well, who are you picking to prevail today?
And I'm the worst picker that there ever was. It's a good thing I don't gamble, because I'd be in debt. No, obviously Brooks Koepka is the favorite. But, you know, Brooks not only has one bad knee, he has two bad knees. And, you know, this is going to be the fourth day of competitive golf in a row. You know, I don't know how much more he can take. And Phil, you know, Phil's 50 years old and trying to keep his focus. So, you know, it may not be either one of them. It may be someone else. It might be Louis Oosthuizen if he makes a few putts. So I'm not going to pick a winner, but, you know, I think it's going to be a very exciting championship coming down the back nine stretch.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I want to hear your thoughts about the so-called Super League. You know, officials from that league met with player agents earlier this week on Kiawah Island. Again, Mike, it's becoming a distraction at another championship. I mean, these guys are getting a lot of attention, taking attention away from the golf. What are your thoughts about the Super League?
Well, I honestly don't think it can happen. And there are too many obstacles. The only way this could happen is two reasons. If the official world golf ranking were to recognize Super League golf and say that, you know, we'll assign world ranking points to your events, that's one thing. But the other thing that has to happen is that all four major championships would have to sign off on this and say, okay, we will accept Super League golf players into the major championships. Because, you know, the top 30 players are playing for majors. It's that simple. And if they can't get in the majors, I can't see them joining this league. But, you know, let's say, for instance, Super League Golf gave the USGA $50 million or $100 million, quote, donation, and did the same thing for the RNA and the PGA of America and Augusta National Golf Club. Would that help sway their decision? I don't know. But if the major championships don't sign on, this thing's dead in the water.
That's right. And I remember reading a statement that Augusta National put out a couple of weeks ago, and that they were aligning, obviously, themselves, continue to align themselves with the PGA Tour, as did the USGA. And you and I were talking earlier about, you know, the PGA Tour has come out and has said they would ban players from competing in any other league and take their membership away. And you had brought up a good point. Can they do that legally?
Yes, I would like to know if Commissioner Monahan knows that he's on solid legal ground when he makes a statement like that. Because the first player that joins Super League Golf and is banned by the PGA Tour, there'll be a court case filed the next day. So, I don't know the legality. I assume Commissioner Monahan knows, but we'll see.
Mike, always a pleasure. Love your writing, love your insights. And have you had another hole-in-one since that day?
No, I have. That's my one and only.
Unbelievable. That was a great hole to have it on. Thank you so much, and continued success, and enjoy the final round today.
Thanks for having me, Ann.
Thanks so much. Mike Perkey. Coming up, the guy who developed Kiawah Island and turned it into a popular golf destination and the venue for the 91 Ryder Cup, the 2012 PGA Championship, and this week's PGA Championship. His name is Buddy Darby, and Buddy also built, you know, that famous course I was talking about in Ireland, Doonbeg. And he has a marina, a golf, and resort property in St. Kitts called Christoph Harbor. So we'll talk to Buddy about the ocean course in Kiawah Island when we come back, after I tell you that at Travelers, we never lose sight of our promise to take care of our customers and communities. That's why we're so excited to welcome another field of world-class golfers to this year's Travelers Championship, June 24th through the 27th. Since 2007, the tournament has raised over $20 million for charities across the region, thanks to the support of the PGA Tour's best players, the thousands of volunteers, and all our loyal fans. For over 160 years, Travelers has been helping protect the people we serve. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf. Glad you can join me. And joining me now is Kiawah Island master developer Buddy Darby. Buddy and his team turned Kiawah Island into a top resort and the ocean course into the championship gem that it is. Buddy, welcome to Talking Golf.
Hey, Ann, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good. I'm so good. And, you know, Buddy and I met in the early days of Doon Bay Golf Club in Southwest Ireland, which Buddy and his team built. It was one of my favorite spots on the planet, Buddy, as you know. And I first discovered Doon Bay through Tourism Ireland and then did a show on the golf course before it opened with the late, great Ed Tovey, who was the membership director at that time, and then went back a few weeks later and interviewed Greg Norman, the course designer. What a great history, really. So enjoyed my time at Doon Bay.
Yep, great golf course, and you know, I had a lot of good times there. And your interview with Greg, that was about as good an interview as I've ever seen with Greg.
I appreciate that. I remember it like it was just yesterday. So, well, let's talk about the history of Kiawah Island, when you got involved, and what was it like in the early days?
Well, I bought Kiawah in 1988 with a group of us, and, you know, there was no ocean course. The Kuwait Investment Company had started a development in 77. And when I came in, I had a player, a Nicholas, and a Fazio golf course, and then partnered up with Landmark Land, and together we built the ocean course. And Landmark at the time was one of the best purveyors of golf, and they had the rights to the 1991 Ryder Cup. So when golf became popular and we lost the Ryder Cup in 87 and tied in 89, it was scheduled to go to PGA West. As golf became popular, especially overseas, to get everybody watching the golf before they could go to sleep, we had to move it, and we put it on a golf course that Pete Dye did that wasn't even built yet. Very controversial, but... it was, as you know, the war by the shore sort of defined the Ryder Cup, and you know, since then we've added two new private courses, one by Tom Watson and one by another one by Tom Fazio. So we have seven golf courses on the island, but people really come here for the beach and the environment.
It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous spot. And, boy, that's funny that the Ryder Cup was announced to be played on Kiawah Island at the ocean course before the ocean course was even built. That must have been interesting. What do you remember from that 91 Ryder Cup?
Oh, I mean, it was, you know, it was my first major, you know, hosting a first major, any kind of golf tournament, really, but obviously jumping right into the Ryder Cup. And you know, it went down to the last putt, the last group, you know, on the last day. And, you know, it was just high drama. And, you know, it really sort of, as I said, defined the Ryder Cup. So it was, you know, after that, you know, it sort of put Kiawah on the map.
It definitely put Kiawah on the map. And, hey, you walked with Phil Mickelson in round one, and I know you know him well. What did you see from him that day, and did you ever think he'd be the leader going into this final round? I mean, what a remarkable story.
Well, you know, when you know, he'll tell you that you know, he's been striking the ball. I mean, I followed him in at the American Express this year, and he's hitting the ball as long as Ricky Fowler and Cantlay today they played. You know, he's probably in the best shape he's ever been. You know, and so the game's been inside of him. He had a really good day, I guess, at Quail Hollow the first day. And then when he came out here, you know, I think the ocean course, I mean, as I look outside today, it's the wind's going to be kicking up a little bit. And, you know, you have to be patient. And, you know, probably experience plays a lot into you know, playing this course now. So he certainly has a lot of that, and it'll be a fun day today. It's great, you know, be great for golf, great for him, obviously. But, you know, should be a good day.
I mean, he's been talking about, you know, not having the focus long term. Do you notice anything different when you were walking with him as far as what he was doing, as far as visualization? I know it seems like he's taken a little more time before he hits his tee shots, before he makes his putts, to try to visualize the shot.
I think, obviously, I think he's trying to really, you know, really focus on that ball going, you know, on the fairway and in the hole when he's putting. And, you know, he's got the game inside of him, obviously, to be leading a major with a lot of really good young players out there is pretty remarkable.
So now they're saying that the wind is going to be completely different today than it has been all week. Can you talk about, you know the course so well, can you talk about how the different wind today will affect, you know, the course and the players?
Well, I mean, the first 2 days and into part of yesterday, the wind was coming out of the north, which was the same wind that we had for the Ryder Cup, and which is an unusual wind, especially this time of year. So it's clocked around. It's now the prevailing wind from the southwest. So it's going to be a totally different wind than everybody has played for the first 3 days. I don't think it's going to be really windy, but you know, it's going to be, you know, different. 17, which has been playing into the wind, will now be downwind. So, we'll see. I mean, here again, I mean, and you got two guys at the top that, you know, obviously have negotiated everything so far pretty well. But, Phil seems to, you know, be able, very analytical and thinks a lot. And, you know, I think he's given credit to his brother for, who's on his bag for, sort of figuring the win out. So we'll see what happens today.
Wow, that par 317, to play that downwind, that's going to be brutal. I mean, it's brutal as it is, but downwind, man, that's crazy. You know, obviously, since you built Kiawah Island and, you know, in the early days and brought Pete Dye in to design the ocean course, you have so many friends that come in and out, you know, in golf. And what has been the highlight of your week so far? I mean, I ran into Darius Rucker from Hooting the Blowfish, and he said he had just visited with you, and I know you saw Padraig Harrington. You know Padraig from Ireland and Doonbeg. What has been the highlight of your week so far? I mean, this must be just a great week to run into everybody.
Well, I mean, actually, the highlight is I got three little grand boys. So being able to take them out on the golf course, you know, we've gone full circle. I have pictures when my kids were small at the Ryder Cup, and you know, so that's been the highlight. But I mean, you know, it's been a great week, and a lot of people have been, you know, you get to see a lot of friends. I mean, some of the PGA of America guys that were here in the early days, they were here, and so it's been a good week. It's been a long week, but you know, I think everybody is pretty excited about today. The crowds are, you know, the crowds have been limited, I think, to 10,000 people, but it seems that they play a lot bigger than, you know, than they are. They're very vocal, and I'm sure they're going to be, you know, following the last group pretty good today.
What are your thoughts about today? Do you think Phil will maintain, or anything obviously can happen, but who are you picking?
Well, obviously, you know, my relationship with Phil, I mean, for golf, it'd be a great story. I barely get around the golf course myself and do well. So, I mean, I can't give these guys any advice, but, you know, I think, you know, you have to go out today and just make sure that, you know, you don't have a big number on a hole. If you can just stay steady. I don't think they're going to be a lot of low scores today. So, we'll see.
Tell me about Christoph Harbour. I know you've been working on Christoph Harbour and St. Kitts. I was there a number of years ago. Give us an update.
So Christoph Harbour is a development, and I'm really excited. You know, we have a Park Hyatt, 127-room Park Hyatt, and mega yacht marina, and, you know, now have a lot of homes that have been built. And we probably have one of the best sites for a golf course. I mean, it's just amazing. You play at sea level, you know, all the way up to 450 feet. So, you know, we're getting ready to start that. Obviously, COVID has been challenging. And so I look forward to, you know, beginning that hopefully by the end of the year.
It's exciting. Beautiful spot down there. You have a good eye for great golf spots, Buddy Darby. You really do. And don't underrate your own game. I remember you came up and played in my charity tournament a number of years ago, and you drained so many long bombs. We actually won my own tournament. A little embarrassing from my part, but
yeah,
you'll have to come up.
Yeah, the cardinal rule, you can't win your own tournament. I learned that a long time ago.
So I know.
We had fun.
We had a great time. You'll have to come up. This year's charity event, the Anne LaGorry Foundation Charity Golf Classic to benefit cancer research, is Thursday, September 16th at the Maidstone Club. So you'll have to come up and maybe defend you'll have to win another one.
Yep. I'll be there.
I love it. Well, Buddy, thank you so much. Enjoy the day. And, you know, if Phil doesn't get it done today, he certainly has been taking us on a thrill ride all week, right? I mean, he's really a testament to his passion for golf, for staying in shape, for constantly working to improve mentally and physically. And you know, that's what true champions are all about. So it's been really inspirational to watch Phil Mickelson, particularly this week, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, he would be tremendously disappointed if he doesn't win. But, you know, to be at leaderboard going into today is pretty good feat. I mean, especially when, you know, Father Time is, you know, fighting you all the time.
Absolutely. It's just been so thrilling to watch. Hey, buddy, let's connect again soon. Hope to see you up at the tournament at Maidstone on September 16th. My thanks to Buddy Darby, to Mike Perkey, to Ed Arzuman in the studio, to my host in Charleston, CeCe and Pete Young. And Talking Golf with Anne LaGorry is brought to you by Travelers, proud sponsor of the Travelers Championship, June 24th through the 27th. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. Stay tuned for the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf. Enjoy the PGA Championship. Go Phil. And I'll talk with you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Anne LaGorry.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.